Today we're celebrating Fauna or Animal Sunday, but I'm not going to talk about polar bears or about cats or coyotes. Instead, I want to talk about pain. Last week, several of you spoke to me about the pain of seeing the oceans heating up and the water rising. The pain of knowing about the plight of sea mammals hurt by our trash. This is painful stuff. And it is right for us to feel the pain and the difficulty that human behavior has brought to the planet. It is right for us to feel the pain that our children and grandchildren will inhabit a very different world from us. And that even today, people are suffering as a result of global warming. This pain is real. And for some of us, it is the spur to increased action. It is the reason to carpool, even when it's not convenient, or to buy organic food, or even to work towards being completely trash-free. For others of us, it is a paralyzing feeling. We so don't want to feel it that we turn away and close our eyes to the agony of the planet. We tend to want things to be inspiring and uplifting and generally joyful, so we don't talk very much or very often about the pain which is at the heart of the Christian narrative. Yet, this is an important contribution that we can make to the global conversation, because at the very heart of our faith is the crucifixion. A painful, horrible defeat. The Son of God pinned to a cross and bleeding, suffocating to death. The hope of the world dying in front of our very eyes. A spirituality which has this suffering at its heart must surely have something important to say about the pain of creation in our time. Although we talk about the birth of Jesus the Christ as the incarnation, it is arguable that the incarnation actually happened 14.5 billion years ago as God created the universe and gave form to the cosmic Christ. John Duns Scotus, the 13th century Franciscan theologian, said that Christ was the very first idea in the mind of God. Creation is not something separate from God, but comes out of the very being of who God is. Love. God has never stopped thinking, dreaming, and creating the eternal Christ mystery. So from this perspective, salvation is nothing less than the healing of creation in the fullness of Christ. Salvation is not about whether you or I go to heaven when we die. It is about the whole of creation, yes, the whole of creation, being perfected and shining with the glory of God. That is God's plan. And therein lies our hope. In Ephesians 1 we read, "With all wisdom and insight, God has made known to us the mystery of God's will according to God's good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth." Now if that is true, if God intends to gather up all things in Christ in the fullness of time, then creation is not going to hell in a handbasket. Creation is actually going to fully reveal the glory of the Christ. So when we worry about where this is all going, we are almost insulting God by not trusting that in the end all will be revealed and all will be well. As the gospel reading said, we do not need to worry, but instead to focus on working for the reign of God. But in the meantime, we are left with witnessing and sometimes experiencing the suffering and pain caused by human recklessness. And of course, today we remember the pain and horror caused by terrorism in this country 15 years ago, and the heroism of those who responded to the cries for help. And we are witnessing Syria being flattened by bombing every day, with millions of people fleeing for their lives. Human recklessness causes unnecessary pain and suffering, and for that we need to repent and work constantly for a peaceful future. But there is is pain and suffering, which is just part of life on this planet. Accidents happen, illness happens, death happens. If we think of creation, which came out of God's love, and in some ways I can't wrap my mind around, we also think about the Christ who was begotten out of God's love. We think of those two being deeply intertwined. Then we can think of this suffering as actually being part of the crucifixion. Perhaps we can call it cosmic crucifixion. The suffering that Jesus Christ experienced on the cross is a microcosm of the suffering of the planet and the universe beyond. On the cross, Jesus experienced the pain, suffering, and death that are the trademarks of being mortal. On the cross, God entered fully into the experience of creation and came out the other side. Jesus shows us that pain and death are not the end. Resurrection happens. From an evolutionary perspective, each individual life form perishes, but the life that is being lived through them continues and is changed because they existed. And the life that is being lived is the life of the Christ who is immortal. And that life is a life of joy and beauty, but also a life of suffering and death. I suspect that the difficulty that we have with bearing the pain of the great sea mammals and the suffering of the orangutans as we take their homes to grow palm oil is because we believe that all suffering is wrong and should be stopped. No being should have to suffer. And our hope is that there will be a day when there is no suffering, when predators will cease to be predators, and as Isaiah says, the wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Yet until that day, pain and suffering are part of life. We can romanticize creation as all beautiful and harmonious, but it isn't yet. Last year, Jill and I were planning the trip of our lifetime to the Galapagos Islands, but then we discovered that in an El Nino year, the water, the ocean turns warm, and the fish that want cold water leave. So the sea lions and others don't have fish to eat. So we would have been seeing wildlife that was literally starving and dying. We cancelled our trip. There is nothing we can do about the suffering of those sea lions. There is nothing we can do about the suffering of the cosmic Christ in creation. As Buddhism teaches, life is suffering and change. And we don't get anywhere by fighting that basic pattern. Life is also beautiful and glorious and affirming. But that too changes. There's not much that's permanent apart from the love of God. God's love upholds and supports us even when we suffer. Even when there isn't enough fish to go around. Even when whales are dying on the beaches. Even when towers are falling. Even when bombs are raining down from heaven, God's love upholds and supports us. And God's plan is that all of this will be redeemed, that all of it will be made new. But we live in the not yet. We live in the time when we are called to do all we can to work for fairness and flourishing for all beings, regardless of who they are or what they are. We live in the time when we are called to witness the suffering and hold that truth, together with the truth that God's love is working its purpose out, that no suffering, no pain can ever separate us from that love, and that God's love was expressed most fully in the painful death of Jesus the Christ. It is our faith in God's love that enables us to respond to pain. Not with apathy or with paralysis, but with gentleness and solidarity, and where possible, with action to alleviate it. It is our faith in God that helps us not to worry, but to continue to work bravely for the reign of God. It is our faith in God that enables us to meet our own pain with courage and compassion. Let us pray. Lord, give us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen.